Good morning. We're calling to order the Wednesday, January 26th variance hearing. I'm the hearing officer, Scott Sanchez, the zoning administrator. I'm joined by Ethic Control Whip Ava Hattara-Taylor, and also I'm joined by senior planner Dan Sider, who's also assistant to the zoning administrator. So we'll begin with some general information about the hearing that we'll be having today. First order of presentation, we begin with the applicant and or owner of the property. We'll be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments as to how their application meets the required 5 findings for granting the variance, and more on that in just a minute. Any proponents will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. Any opponents will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. Applicants and or owners will be allowed a 3-minute rebuttal if there is public testimony that opposes their project. During this time, I may ask questions of members of the public or the project sponsor. And at the end of the hearing, may close the public hearing, may continue the public hearing, may take the matter under advisement for a decision at a later time, may request additional information, may actually make a decision at this hearing to either grant or to deny the application. When the project sponsor does approach the podium, please bring up the declaration of posting. That's the declaration that you did do the required poster on the property, and submit that to Ms. Taylor. We will begin the calendar with consent items. There are 2 items on the consent calendar today. These are matters that are considered routine by the zoning administrator and by the department. If anyone would like to speak on one of these items, we will take it off of consent. We will have a full public hearing on that item. Otherwise, if there is no request for the full public hearing, these items will be granted with standard conditions. There'll be a general public comment at the very end of the hearing for discussion or for comments on items that are not on the calendar. First, we begin here with the criteria for justifying a variance. Under Planning Code Section 305C, it states that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following 5 findings. Finding number 1, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class district. Finding number 2, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the planning code would result in practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding number 3, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of substantial property right for the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding number 4, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. Finally, finding number 5, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the planning code and will not adversely affect the general plan. No decision is final until a variance decision letter is issued. Due to the number of variance applications that we do have and other work in the department, other staffing concerns, it may take up to 2 months to have a variance decision letter issued after the date of this hearing. And it's very important that if you wish to receive a copy of the variance decision letter, that you sign in on the sign-in sheets that are on the far side of the room. We will then mail you a copy of the variance decision letter. The variance decision letter itself is appealable to the Board of Appeals, and there's a window of 10 days from the date of issuance of the variance decision letter to file an appeal with the Board of Appeals. Other matters, private conversations can be disrupted during the hearing. It's a very small room, so please conduct all private conversations outside the hearing room. That said, you know, if there are people here who for and against the project. We always do encourage that both parties speak, so if you need a little time to discuss the matter, you know, you can let us know and go out in the hall and discuss the matter further. So with that, we will begin the item of the consent calendar.
In our consent calendar, there are two items. Case number 2010.0995V, 218 Wawona Street, rear yard variance sought. Item number two, case number 2010.0796V, 364 Bank Street, rear yard and mass reduction variances sought.
Is there anyone here that has public comments or would like a full public hearing on either of these two items? That is 218 Wawona Street, case number 2010.0995B, and 364 Bank Street, case number 2010.0796B. So seeing that there is no public comment in this, we'd be granting these two variance requests subject to standard conditions of approval, and we'd move on to the regular calendar.
Starts with regular calendar, item number three, case number 2010.0847V, 3098 Pacific Avenue. Is the sponsor here, please? You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Zoning Administrator. Thanks for hearing us today. My name is John Maniscalco. I'm the project architect for 3098 Pacific. Subject property is a single-family residence in RH1D zoning district. We're requesting issuance of variance to allow for a 6'2" horizontal addition at the second floor of the northwest corner of the house over an existing garage. The subject property is a corner lot, roughly 38 by 75, but with a significantly shallower lot depth than the typical property on this block. The house that sits on the property is exceptional in its siting, already occupying a significant portion of the rear yard. The primary facade faces Pacific Avenue, and the secondary facade, including garage access on the secondary, is on Lyon Street along the western elevation. Our proposal stays entirely within the existing footprint of the house and does not increase the area of occupied rear yard in any way. As the proposal results in minimal change to the existing mass, is subordinate to the existing structure, and is within the existing footprint, and has no detrimental effect on the adjacent neighbors. The addition's presence on the secondary facade and its consistency in language and keeping with the existing structure allows us to leave the primary street facade unchanged. Additionally, the proposed addition does not interfere with public right-of-way views, or any granting of such variance will not be detrimental to the public welfare or injurious to the property or other improvements in the vicinity. The property's listing as a contributor to an our eligible district and the potential historic resource demand that the primary facade and its front yard setback on Pacific Avenue remain unchanged. This causes both practical difficulty and a necessary hardship, and limits of layout of usable space within the home. A project review meeting with planning staff found that given the restrictions to the historical primary facade and the minimal scope of the addition, this secondary location over the garage was the only reasonable place to add this minimal new mass to correct the functional deficiencies of the interior layout, and they recommended variance as a defensible option. The proposed addition is in keeping with the intent of the planning code, in keeping with the consistent scale and texture of the adjacent structures and neighborhood. It maintains the current use of the property. It also has no negative impact on the general plan, maintaining the existing usage as housing, preserving neighborhood character and history of the structure, and minimizing any effects on the adjacent properties.
Thank you. It's a very thorough presentation. I appreciate it. Is there anyone here who has a public comment on this item, 3098 Pacific Avenue? So seeing that, we close the public hearing on this item. I think the project sponsor really adequately demonstrated the requirements here, that the five requirements for the variance were met. In particular, there is an odd lot shape here. They are burdened by a large front setback. It's a potential historic resource, so therefore we would not recommend that there be construction at the front, but rather construction at the rear to preserve the primary facade. It's a minor addition that is to accommodate an enlarged family room to further the usability of the home, and the current building does not have a side yard. So, and I understand that the input notification pursuant to Planning Code Section 311 went out last week, and so will be expired in about 3 weeks. I have a general inclination to grant the variance subject to standard conditions. However, I will take the matter under advisement until the end of the notification period for Section 311 to allow for any additional public comment that may be forthcoming before making a final decision. And so with that, move on to the next item.
Item number 4, case number 2010.0921V, 1068 14th Street, rear yard variance sought. Your sponsor, sir? Thank you. You have 5 minutes.
Hi, my name is Thomas Gibbon. I'm the designer for the project located at 1068 14th Street. The existing building is a pre-condo Art Deco building, and it's located on the corner lot at 14th and Alpine Terrace. We are proposing an extension to the existing egress stair at the rear of the building for access to a planned roof deck. My client, Mr. Gary DeCab, purchased the top floor of the unit of the condo, of the building, with rights to the roof about 2 years ago. We first met about the project last April, and the initial goal was to create an internal stair access to the roof for security reasons. A little diagram of that. The original approach we found would essentially put the stair in the existing two-story high space volume, which is an Art Deco interior. It would also have eliminated a linen closet and a bedroom closet. Furthermore, the access to the roof would have been through a hatch or a penthouse structure. The railing would have been broken at the hatch and could pose safety concerns. The penthouse structure would have been another alternative, but it would have inevitably blocked our neighbor's view out their living room. So with this discovery of obstacles and trade-offs, we looked at the existing egress stair at the rear of the building as a possible solution. So we proposed extending the stair with like-kind wood stair parts to the roof and submitted that as a request for variance. Mr. DeCat initiated and presented the project to both the neighboring building occupants. We made some revisions based on those comments and submitted them earlier this month for consideration. Those revisions are as follows. There's 6 items. We reduced the bulk of the stair extension by adding risers to the landings. We moved the stair extension towards Alpine Terrace, away from the rear yard. I think this sheet will show it best. So on the right was the originally planned stair with wood parts and a big canopy. We reduced that to the certain zone towards the Alpine Terrace, away from the rear yard. We've also revised the stair construction to be cable railing with aluminum posts to reduce the visual impact. We reduced the height of the guardrail from 48 inches to 42 inches to further reduce the visibility. And we've also revised the glass guardrail at the roof deck to be cable railing to ensure that dirty glass guardrails don't impede views of our neighbors. We also reduced the area of the roof deck from 585 square feet to 556 square feet in front of the living room of the neighboring property. One of the items is that this is a corner lot. It is small corner lot. The existing building actually encroaches in that setback already. We're looking at hardships because an internal stair would essentially eliminate the use and function of bedroom and closet space. And we're really adding more open space to the top of the building, where it's limited currently in the back, in the rear yard. We don't believe this is materially detrimental to any of the neighboring properties, as it's in the shadow of the existing building. And we believe that's going to create nice harmony with the planned open space on the roof. That's all I have. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, and thank you very much for your willingness to work with the neighbors to arrive at design alternatives. I think that even your first proposal had shown some accommodation to address neighbor concerns, and you've further done that with the revision. I actually have a couple of questions for you.
I'm sorry.
So the latest revision was submitted on January 10th. That's the date of the plans, January 10th. So have you been able to show those to the neighbors to see if this addresses their concerns?
Yes.
I'm sorry to come up and speak, so we have, this is recorded digitally, so we need to get that on the record.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Yes, as soon as I had the revised plans, I shared them with As soon as I had the plans, I emailed them to my neighbors who are sitting here and asked for any comments or questions, and I they're here today to comment on it.
Did you receive any?
I never received any anything in email or telephone calls about it, but I know my neighbors are opposed to it.
Okay.
That's what I suspect.
And I think you have noted in the application and in the presentation too that some of the exceptional extraordinary circumstances with this lot being that it is such a small lot.
Mm-hmm.
This would be definitely the best usable open space solution for the building, but this is just for the upper unit, right? This is just for one unit only.
It's just for one unit. The upper unit, my unit, has the rights to the roof, and since there's no sunlight whatsoever in the backyard, you can't grow any tomatoes or anything, so the purpose was to have a small vegetable garden there.
And so, you mentioned that you have rights to the roof. Was this a condominium or was this a...
It's a condominium.
So on the condominium map, does it actually show something? How does it define the roof?
There is, in the... What I've seen filed with the city is unit 1068 has the full right, shows the whole perimeter of the roof.
Okay.
Then we have the rights to do whatever we want with the roof. Build up or to put a roof deck or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the actual condominium conversion didn't provide any entitlements for you. It just allowed you the ability to come through and a hearing such as this to seek your application to have a roof deck. It didn't.
Okay.
It was, was your understanding that you could apply for a roof deck, but not necessarily that you would have a roof deck?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
Right. And then one thing I was concerned about, I didn't see a pattern of roof decks in the neighborhood. Do you have any documentation that shows that this is something that's consistent with the neighborhood pattern?
Well, if just by walking around, there are many, many roof decks in the neighborhood. There's one on the other side of 14th Street. There's up above us. There's many, many roof decks in the area.
Okay.
Yeah, in fact, there's one across the street that is probably pre-code. I see stairs going up. It's kind of strange, but so there's a lot of roof decks in the area.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
So now we'll go to public comments. Anyone who's speaking in support or opposition to will be given 3 minutes to speak on this item. 3 minutes each. So first person. And if you say your name for the record.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Sanchez. My name is Robert Chiminski. I'm a child psychologist. I live in the top unit at 1074 14th Street, immediately to the west. I'm here representing my partner and me. My partner is a dentist and he's busy looking at teeth this morning. So I've lived in this unit, we both have lived in this unit for 17 years, and I think the main concern for us is the loss of privacy. I don't know how this gizmo works. Will this show the photos or should I just give them?
Yeah, we have to flip it around. That's upside down. Flip it around,
yeah. Thank you. Okay. As I said, I'm a psychologist, so you have to. So that's looking out our dining room window at the adjacent property, and you can see, that when someone is up there, because of the incline of the street, they'll be looking straight into our dining room. This is the equivalent, shot from the living room. So a fairly similar view. And then I thought what I would do is show you.
So what was the first room that you showed?
The dining room, and the second room is the living room. So this is sitting at the dining room table. So it's a little farther back, but you can see essentially that if someone is out there, they'll have a clear view into our dining room. This is the living room, and it's essentially the same thing. And while I do want to acknowledge that the applicants have made some modifications, a friend of mine who's an optometrist pointed out that the reason 20 feet is considered a measure of good vision and clear vision is we call it 20/20. So the setback, I think, from the dining room now is about 24 feet, and from the living room, 27 feet. But basically, that will allow fairly, because of the incline as well, so if someone's standing there, they'll be looking straight into both of those rooms. The concern I also want to say about the privacy and the loss of privacy, in the time that I've lived there, 17 years, there have been three sets of occupants at 1068. So that's turnover roughly every 6 years. While Gary and Stephen have assured us that they're not going to throw any wild parties up there or put a hot tub up there, we're long-term residents. We don't know how long they're going to live there, but that's a very big concern for us, that the next people who, if they sell, move in, will totally use the roof deck for entirely different purposes. And that, again, would impinge considerably on the privacy of me and my partner.
Thank you. So we have a few questions. This is a variance for the stairs. So, and I mean, it's a chicken and egg thing here. You can't have the deck without the stairs. So do the stairs themselves pose an issue or concern to you? Do they have any impact on you?
The stairs do not directly impact me. I think my two neighbors, the downstairs neighbors, are going to speak about the stairs. I'm here to speak about that I'm opposing the stairs because I'm opposed to the roof deck. And I understand that these were packaged together so that the initial plan was to issue the permit for the deck and then do the variance for the stairs as a second step. I don't understand why that would be, because in my simplistic mind, it seems like you would have wanted the variance first before you go ahead with the deck. But
is there anything screening or anything that would help address the privacy concerns for the deck?
Well, one suggestion that I did make to Gary and Stephen was, what about if they were to move the deck back so that the full area, square footage, were in the dining room? So basically moving the deck to the north of their building, that would leave us at least the living room area where we would have privacy. And if there were people in the deck and we were in the dining room, we would just move to our living room and we wouldn't really have to be looking at them or them looking at us in our, basically, our living room. Okay. It's a fairly clear view. I mean, unfortunately, I didn't have access to their deck or their roof to take the reverse picture, but in the architect's photos that he submitted with his application, there are two shots looking in, and you can see the little rack that we can't hang our laundry on.
Okay. And I want to respect your privacy, and you know, if you feel uncomfortable answering this question, it'd be fine. But what other rooms in the house are there? Because it looks into the living room and dining room, but not to any of the bedrooms or other kind of rooms that...
No, it looks into the way it's set up, the they're basically fairly square. So those two rooms run the entire length of that side of the building, the east side of the building. That's also where the bulk of the windows are in the house, are in those two rooms. So most of our light comes in through those two rooms.
If the deck were to provide maybe a 6-foot tall screen, would that address the concerns? Or do you think, how would that?
You know, I it's a little hard. I think for us, the ideal would be to have one of the rooms where we could have preserved the privacy, And again, that would mean reconfiguring the plans as they were submitted so that basically they would move most of the area north.
I don't want to, I guess, redesign the whole project right here, but if they were to do that and to not extend to the south of the building, would you be acceptable if they would come closer to your building? Are you,
yes. Okay. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So the issue isn't the square footage or the size, it's that would preserve at least one of the rooms where there wouldn't be someone standing in front of us looking in at, you know, unexpectedly.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your willingness.
Appreciate your time. Okay. Thank you.
And would you like to speak on this item? You have 3 minutes. Sir? Please state your name for the record.
Mr. Sanchez, I am... My name is Steve Corley. I live at 1070 14th Street, which is the bottom condominium. I have the bottom floor of that building. And I'm speaking today mainly about light in the garden of 1070 through 74. We occupy the building, of course, adjacent to 1068. And I would like to ask if you have access to a plot plan for the city. Can you?
I have a plot plan for the property here. Yes.
Then it should. It will be obvious that our lots, pointed out by Mr. Pittman, that they are small. They're almost square in shape. Our two buildings are twins. They were built at the same time, and were designed to provide views and light for both gardens. This top block of 14th Street is very steep. It climbs up the hill at a more severe grade than anywhere else on 14th Street. The very top climbs the hill. All of the gardens and the houses, as they soldier their way up this hill, are oriented to the east because the gardens, of course, are built into the walls and of the succeeding buildings. So, I would like to. I think I can use this. I have. Oh, may I ask? Did you receive a letter from the building on the 20th day?
Yes. 20th?
Good. Try this.
Is there a way I can get the entire photograph?
I think that there's a way to zoom out in the image.
And I can go down with the silver
reflection. And we'll give you a few extra minutes or so to speak.
That's his.
I think that's adequate. That'll be fine. Thank you. In the architect's plans, there are a number of photographs of the intersection and different views of the building at 1068. This is a view that was not included. This is a view from our garden at 1070, 74. And it looks eastward through a corridor that provides light for our garden. If you look at the photograph, you will see the edge of our garden, you'll see the buildings, and you'll see the existing stair at 1068. But actually, what you see as much as anything else, but you something that you take for granted, and that is the sky there. And that sky provides an eastern corridor of light, ambient light, and in some parts of the summer light, sunshine that comes up through there sometimes of the year. If you will visualize in the picture an additional deck of the folded stair and the deck that it supports.
We'll give you another 30 seconds because of the...
Oh, is that it?
Yeah. Oh, no, you can continue on. I'll let you finish.
Oh, thank you. Good.
Would you like to speak?
Me.
We'll give them 30 seconds and we'll have you speak.
Yeah. I mean,
Let me just quickly conclude. First of all, if you visualize in the picture, visualize the projected stairs, they will pretty much obliterate the sky. It will box in our garden from the east. And I think basically what is at stake here are two outdoor spaces. There's our outdoor space and access to their proposed outdoor space. I think in order to access their outdoor space, it cannot be done without diminishing the value of our outdoor space. That includes the value of our outdoor space and the enhancement of the value of theirs. So
they recently revised the plans to set back the stairs a little bit further. Has that done anything to address your concerns?
Not really, because we're talking about a silhouette of the proposal, whether the top stairs are inward to our garden or outward doesn't really affect, I think, the light, the ambient light. That will come down that corridor in the morning and also in the afternoon when the sun...
How does it come down in the afternoon? Because this is a... So you're
looking... Oh, it's very important, actually.
Because you're looking to the west of them. So when the sun is in the west, how does the sun come from the east? I guess I'm confused.
The sunshine is perhaps happens only part of the year, just in the high summer. Most of this corridor provides ambient light from the east when the sun comes up in the morning, whether we see the sun or not. And it provides ambient light in the afternoon when the sun backlights the sky to the east from the west.
And the photo here is taken from your which room?
It's taken from the back of my building, in my garden.
In the garden?
In the garden, yes.
Okay. And is this from the stairs? The properties are sister properties, and as I understand, they're both developed with similar stairs.
Say that again, please, I didn't quite hear.
It's my understanding that they're sister properties, that both the properties, your property and the variance requester's property, both have similar stairs. Like
yes, we do.
Already
yes, yes. The buildings are twins. They're configured the same. Okay.
And so their rear wall, these stairs, none of the, I mean, nothing will extend further to the north or further into the rear yard than is being proposed. It's just going to be going up for one more level. And so your concerns are there, the ambient light block being blocked by the additional stair structure.
Yes, that's correct. Mr. Sanchez, the existing stairs you'll see actually blend with the street straight behind them. Our garden, because of the slope of 14th Street, sits 5 feet higher than their garden. So if you look in the photograph, we're looking down into the...
What height is this taken from, this photo? What height would this photo be taken from above grade of the rear yard?
I took the photo, and I was standing.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
All right. Okay, I think that answer my questions. I'm not hearing any concerns about the roof deck. It's for you, it's about the stairs themselves.
It's very important about the stairs.
Okay.
And the light in that garden.
And so the roof deck doesn't have an impact on you?
Not directly.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next member of the public like to speak on this item.
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Sorry?
3 minutes.
3 minutes, okay. I'll make it fast. So you got the letter. Brian Galinti at 1072 14th Street. You got the letter. I think that explains things very well. My concern is also the stairs, much less so the roof deck. I would like to see a shape study done before the granted values for the stairs. If in fact you've done that, in fact you're going to do that. And I also wonder if they have considered other options like pull-down stairs, like for an attic internally, as opposed to having stairs that would take away the use of the bedroom, or if they have considered possibly like using a ship's ladder on the outside that would have less of an impact on the light. So those are kind of my three things. Shape study, other options that are maybe more creative and less impactful.
Okay. Thank you very much. Anyone else would like to speak on this item? Seeing none, the project sponsor will have a 3-minute rebuttal.
Thank you. Um,
One of the items that was brought up was, will other building occupants be able to enjoy the space on the
microphone so we can all hear?
Yes. Sorry. One of the items was that the other building occupants located at 1060 and 14th Street will not be able to enjoy the roof deck space. However, we're reducing the occupant load to the rear yard space. So essentially, we are providing additional open space for the occupants of the building. My wife is also a child psychologist, so I can mention for that. Regarding the roof deck on top of the building, I feel as though we've reduced that enough. It is required setback from the adjacent property, and it does not look into any private spaces such as bedrooms or bathrooms. The stair shot, the picture that was shown, I'm a little perplexed about where that was taken. We have shifted our stair again towards Alpine Terrace, and we're using cable railing. So what you're seeing in that picture is really an exaggerated shot of a wood stair structure, whereas ours is going to be less, you know, it'll be allowing a lot more light through there than the wood structure. The other alternatives regarding ship's ladder, pull-down ladders, those are not, those will not be approved by building code. We know that. And the only other alternative is to create a non-occupiable roof deck space with a ship's ladder for maintenance only. So those kinds of stairs could only be used for that use of the roof deck. Last but not least was the, I think we sent you into this, and that is the footprint. The footprint of the stairs itself, you'll see in the lower corner is 198 square feet existing footprint of the stair. We were proposing 114 square foot of added stair. That's a 57% area increase. And that's just looking at area only.
Thank you. I do have a question. So you are on the new stair addition, under the current proposal, January 10, you were using cable railing for the new stair addition. Could you retrofit the existing stair to provide cable rail on all of the stair? Because I think what the neighbor had shown was that there was an existing, you know, the existing structure maybe could benefit from that, having a less of an impact on the ambient light. Is that something that the property sponsors would want to entertain?
Of course, it's not my money, but
it's an HOA issue.
I think it is an
HOA, yeah.
But it's something that could be explored.
Imagine anything could be explored.
So now, and
whether or not it actually happens, I'm sorry, but it's another issue. But.
Fair enough. In terms of the deck itself and how the neighbor has expressed an alternative that you haven't proposed yet, but one that would just be towards the north side of the property, it could have roughly the same square footage, but would be more of a rectangular, more parallel to 14th Street. Is that something that...
Well, yeah, I want to make sure I'm understanding what's been said here. So, when you're saying north side, you're saying...
So,
basically, this area right here?
Exactly. So you would, instead of having a square that is set back equally from 14th Street and Alpine Terrace, you would have a rectangular deck that is close to Alpine Terrace but very far away from 14th Street, and that would protect the privacy to the neighbors of the living room.
Right.
And he's willing to accept some impact on the privacy to the dining room, but would like at least one of the rooms. Is that something, that kind of rectangular shape deck, is that something that's been considered or could be considered?
I'm not at liberty to make concessions on behalf of the owner, but
I'm getting a know that they will think about that. Okay, I appreciate that.
Great.
Okay. Thank you. So with that, we'll close the public hearing on this item. And also, but I did struggle with this, hearing the neighbors' testimony, hearing the project sponsors' side. Believe that there's strong argument to be made for the exceptional extraordinary circumstances here, given the lot size, given that you're substantially improving the usability, the livability of the unit by providing usable open space of a quality which does not exist on the property. And I think that the stairs have a probably minimal impact, but could be made even less so if some alternative with the cable railings were to be looked at. So I think at this point, I'd just be willing to take this matter under advisement, but I would like the project sponsor to work with the neighbors to find some suitable alternative, particularly looking at reconfiguring the roof deck and looking at the stairs of, you know, also not reconfiguring, but of modifying them to have the cable railings, which I think could go a long way to address the concerns that I would have about the impacts on the neighbors. So with that, it's not continued to a date certain, but I would like you to review this matter, and maybe each of you can come up and say how long you might need to work this out, or a timeline, 2 weeks seems reasonable for people. So I'd like to please report back to the staff planner, Michael Smith, after 2 weeks with kind of the progress that you've made on these potential revisions. And any final decision will be issued in a letter at a later date. And so anyone who would like to get a copy of that, can please sign in. And so I see some questions from the neighbors. If you'd like to come up, I'd have you hear what you have as questions.
All right, thank you.
I think it, as you know, it's been pointed out, it's really more of ambient light, not a matter of direct sunlight. So I think that a shadow study would not really yield any useful information.
Are you sure?
That's my professional opinion, that yes, it would not provide much useful information for our case here, but I do appreciate it as a suggestion. Often we do rely on shade studies, but usually when there's more direct sunlight, that's a question where you actually have something you can quantify or measure through the additional shade. But I appreciate the suggestion, but I don't feel it would be necessary in this case.
Can I ask a quick?
Sure.
So could you just clarify for me, so the 2 weeks would that also entail us collaborating together and talking? So that would be part of what we build.
Is perfect, yes.
I enjoy talking as a profession. So, but I think that would also just really help the situation a lot. So in that spirit, I want to just...
Well, thank you. I mean, and I think everyone here has expressed a willingness to compromise and really appreciate that, and hope that we can come to some resolution here that will allow everyone to get what they are seeking. So thank you, and look forward to hearing back from you in 2 weeks. So there's no more public hearings on this item. As I said before, any future decision will be issued in a letter, and if you'd like to get a copy of the letter, please sign in on the far side there. Thank you, everybody.
Moving to item number 5, case number 2010.0813V, 1346 Leavenworth Street. Is the sponsor here, please? Before I type it, do you have your... Can you send me the planner to me a picture of the posting itself? Thank you. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Hi, I'm Brian Wilford. I'm with the design team for the owner. The project is proposing the addition of a spiral staircase in lieu of an existing straight run staircase within a rear yard setback. The specific property is an abnormal depth for the district. It's due to reconfiguration a long time ago, I guess, prior to or post earthquake. This property was developed with an 87.5 foot depth as a opposed to the neighboring lots, which have a significantly deeper depth. The neighbor to the south is a full lot development of individual condo buildings. So our rear yard is abutted on three sides by neighboring buildings. There is no discernible open block space. The existing deck and stair are in significant disrepair as part of an additional or another construction project that is ongoing on site. The straight run stair has been removed to provide access instead of going back with a straight run stair in kind, which would be allowed by code. The owner is opting to look for a smaller footprint to make their rear yard more usable. Straight run stair occupies essentially all the usable space in the very small rear yard that we have. The neighbor to the north, which would be the property line along which the stair would be placed, has a similar stair. It's a straight run stair, but the stair is in the exact location that our stair would be. And the applicant doesn't believe we're causing any detrimental effects to any of the adjacent properties and increasing the usability of the rear yard. Any questions?
So a building permit application has been submitted for this? What's the status of the building permit?
It has not been submitted. We're going to revise the current permit based on the variance findings.
Okay. It's a very modest addition. I mean, I actually had debated putting this on as a consent item, but given that it did have the firewall at the rear of the property, so you'd want to have a full hearing on it and see if there's anyone who would have comments. And with that, is there anyone here who has comments or questions on this item on 1346 Leavenworth Street? So seeing none, I would close the public hearing on this item. And I think as the project sponsor had noted, it really is a very modest change from an existing condition. Neighboring properties have similar features. It's to provide access to the rear yard. And for those reasons, I find that it meets the variance requirements and would grant subject to standard conditions. Thank you.
Item number six, case number 2009-1173V, 1467 Shotwell Street. Setback, rear yard, and parking variances sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Hello, my name is Gregory Fagan. I'm a designer for Amy Epstein, who's the owner of the property. Regarding the particular issues at hand, regarding the exceptional extraordinary circumstances, first, it's in Vernal Heights, which has a Vernal Heights special use district, so that comes into play. The subject building was constructed in 1906 and most likely was an earthquake shack, and therefore has historical significance. And because of this, a lot of the things we might want to do were prevented to do. The other thing about this particular structure, it occupies about half the width of the lot. So much of the side of the building is also considered part of that historical asset. So the only area where we can possibly build is into the rear yard, which would encroach into the rear yard setback. Presently, right now, there are two decks, one above the other, and that are existing. The idea is just to enclose the lower deck, which would essentially we wouldn't be improving any other of the open air space in the lot. There was consideration, or we were asked if what about building into the side lot. The difficulty there is, as I've already mentioned, is much of the side of the building is also a potential historic resource. There's also the side yard plus the backyard. Combined that act as a very nice continuous open space. We put the building into the side yard and that breaks things up. So the hardship there is simply, the owner is very restricted to do just about anything. She has only 670 square feet to start with, and our proposal is just to add another 200 approximate square feet, which still remains a pretty modest structure. As far as I guess that speaks also to the non-compliant 188 non-compliant issue. Again, we have these structures, but they're really the only ones that we can modify. Again, we're not If you include those as part of the footprint, we're not really increasing any volume into the building. And if, yes, in question two, Owen sort of asserts that the literal enforcement of this would reduce the property value, it would take away the owner's ability to improve their property. Regarding the front, there's also a front setback issue. Again, this building was built in 1906, probably one of the earlier buildings on the block. Our proposal in the front is very modest. Her front door opens onto the sidewalk, and the living room's right there. Again, being such a small house, the front room is the living room, so you open up the door, the whole world has to look in. So we've just proposed to build, trellis, very open air trellis in front of the door, and then some landscaping in front of that to just add a little bit of separation between the sidewalk and the front of the house. And then there's a proposal to build a new gate. The new gate essentially replaced the old gate, so that won't change much. And then we propose to build a car deck into the side of the yard at sidewalk level. So again, visually speaking, there's really no visual change to the front of the house. So again, and then the issue regarding similarities to other properties in the area. Many of the structures on the street do have rear decks, and again, it's an old neighborhood, and many of the properties have built into their rear yards. Specifically, the neighbor to the north of this property has roof decks and decks and extensions that exceed even what we're proposing by a large amount. And we also have three letters of support from both neighbors on either side and our rear neighbor.
Thank you. And initially, I was very skeptical of the why you can expand it to the side yard, and thank you for submitting materials say January 24th. Very, very helpful, and I think you went to great efforts there through all the graphics as well to really very clearly show that the side setback is, well, not only the historic issues aside, but it's also much better used as the usable open space for the property. And so thank you for that, and that helps clarify. Is there anyone from the public here to speak on this item? To support or opposition to 1467 Shotwell Street? Okay, thank you. And with that, we'll close the public hearing on this item, and we'd be inclined to grant the requested variance subject to the standard conditions. Thank you.
Okay, item number 7. Case number 2010.0832V, 2317 15th Street. Is the sponsor here, please? Sponsor for 2317 15th Street?
I think with that, we'll hold the item over to the end of the calendar and see if anyone does show up for this item.
Moving to item number 8, case number 2010.1036B, 2841 De Visadero Street, front setback variance sought. Is the sponsor here? Please approach the mic, you have 5 minutes.
Didn't we see you recently here? Were you recently here for
no
absence? No.
Do you have the posting, sir, with you?
Yes, we do.
And the picture?
Thank you.
You have 5 minutes.
Good morning. My name is Louis Butler. I'm the architect for 2821 Visadero Street. And I'll briefly explain the basics behind the project, and we'll make it brief and answer any questions. 2841 Duguesclero Street was originally, about 20 years ago, remodeled for a fellow with an art collection, and the front facade reflects an art gallery, large gallery, several rooms to display art that are behind the facade, and therefore the front facade was composed with a blank panel, and there was a large painting on that panel. It was really an interior-out concept building. Our clients purchased this building in the last year and would like to open it up and make it a more of a light-filled house. And so we focused on that front bay where the blank panel is. And our goal is to make that front bay a glass bay window and break up the expanse of the facade, improve the proportions of the facade, and bring the facade more into the character of the existing block face on that side of the block. This existing blank bay is already a story and a half. You can see it extends halfway up into the bedroom windows. There's actually a skylight behind it. On the top, I believe you have diagrams in your packet that show additional details. I have them here too. The new bay will be a full two stories, so we're essentially extending the bay a half story up to complete it to the top of the second story. Because the San Francisco planning code addresses bay windows with a maximum dimension that you're all familiar with, we're asking for 8 additional square feet on either side of this bay times half a story. And again, there's a diagram which I'll show you that explains exactly where that additional space is. The rationale behind this is that we're beginning with what we feel is a fairly blank, short bay, and we'd like to make that into a taller bay that's glass, that's more in the block face pattern of the neighborhood, and breaks up the amount of wall in this building. This building has a lot more wall than the adjacent buildings. And when I show you the after photograph, I'm hoping you'll see that we fall more into the pattern of the buildings with the additional glass that we add. This remodel of this bay window is very, very popular with the neighbors. We have not asked them for formal letters, but I know several of them. We talked to them as we go ahead with the project, which has already begun on the inside with the interior remodel. It has terrific support versus the blank bay. So it is a very popular revision to the facade in the neighborhood. I'm going to just take you through a few more graphics here. This is the after proposal note, the additional glass. This building, which is kind of a light stucco color right now, will be stucco in a darker color, which will also help it recede a bit. It'll mesh more of the building on to the left or the uphill building. The bay also picks up the proportions of the uphill building. The windows themselves will be a dark natural mahogany color, so the building will still have a palette of contemporary materials, very warm materials, and the darker natural colors will allow it to recede behind the landscaping and recede behind the block face. This diagram shows the existing bay on the left, and dotted in shows where the variances specifically occur on either side. Again, the after diagram showing the additional glass that really breaks up the expanse of the facade versus the solid. This photograph is shot up the block and I think does a good job of showing the existing bay, how it will be raised, but also the existing cornice and bay pattern all the way up to Green Street, so that you see that the improvements that we are making really fall within that kind of cornice and bay depth that occurs at the base of this block. An additional diagram, a little bit difficult to read, showing the peaked skylight and how and that kind of funny shape that we add to the bay, which is technically the variance, the pieces on the left and the right that require the variance. By the way, the bay is behind the property line in its entirety, so this is a legislative front setback issue. It's not an issue where the bay is actually overhanging the property line. So I will close with that, and would be happy to answer any questions. Actually, let me show you one additional diagram. This is a clear plan diagram showing the two triangles on the right where the variance is being requested, 8 square feet apiece times 1/2 story.
Thank you very much. Yes, I see this is something, it's an existing non-compliant structure. What, do you know when it was created, when that bay window was added to the building?
1992.
1992. And did they receive a variance at the time?
I actually don't think that the project required a variance at that time.
Okay. And, yeah, definitely, it's an existing non-conforming structure that you're retaining and really converting, it seems like the character of the building from something that's more institutional to something that is clearly much more residential and compatible with the neighborhood. So I do see the strengths of the application there. I understand that the project itself, I think the entire project is up to Section 311 notification.
Yes, that will expire on the 14th of February. That's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is anyone here to speak on this item? Seeing none to close the public comment on this, be looking to take this matter under advisement and wait till the end of the Section 311 neighborhood notification to see if there's any additional community response or public response to the project before making a final decision on the variance application. Thank you.
Moving to item number 9, case number 2010.0804V, 2949B Pacific Avenue. Parking variance sought. The sponsor, you have 5 minutes, ma'am.
Good morning. My name is Bonnie Bridges. I'm the architect and the sponsor. And I have documents here.
Thank you.
This variance is to convert an existing studio apartment that is there into a legal separate unit. The lot area is quite large and allows 5 total units. The project currently has 3 units. We are asking for 1 additional unit, so it would be a 4-unit building. The hardships are, and the variances are for the rear yard exposure variance and also the parking. The rear yard is 16 feet deep. The required rear yard is 32 feet. We're asking for a variance because the building was built in 1916, and in order to meet that 32 foot, we would have to chop 16 feet off of the whole back of the building, which would be an extreme hardship, both in terms of loss of square footage, but also of cost. And very difficult to do. The other thing is that the 16 feet is south-facing, and it is mid-block, and it is, of course, adjacent to other open spaces in the neighborhood and provides a substantial amount of daylight and exposure to this unit. Hardship number 2 has to do with the parking variance. This is a small studio apartment. It is adding housing stock to the residential housing in the city. The current garage accommodates 3 cars per the planning code layout, 4 if you get them with the new smart car sized spaces. This area of Pacific has available street parking as well. It's rarely very crowded. This is a dedicated owner. They purchased the building approximately 3 years ago and immediately began an upgrade that included voluntary strengthening of the building, as well as opening up that garage to accommodate as many cars as possible. That work was finished last year. So we feel that the variance to legalize this 4th unit is consistent with the rights of adjacent property owners which have multiple units in this vicinity.
Thank you. I think you make a compelling case for how really any additional parking is largely impossible and you have to dramatically reduce other habitable space as a trade-off for providing additional parking. And also, makes an excellent point that this is south-facing exposure, so yes, it's seeking an exposure variance, but I think that's mitigated by the fact that it is, does have a south-facing exposure to provide light for the unit. It's my understanding it was an illegal unit. Was it an illegal unit that was installed by the current property owner?
No, it was installed by the previous property owner. Our clients have been, they've been using it as sort of a hangout space for the teenagers.
Okay.
But it was done by the previous owner. The other thing, this is an aside, but the property was neglected for a good number of years, and this owner is putting a substantial amount of money into improving the entire building, and one of the issues is to have an additional unit to help offset some of those costs that they're putting into the project.
I was wondering if you could put the floor plans on the overhead of the unit. So if you have some questions about the layout of the unit itself. So it's a bit of a split level, and I guess what I'm concerned about is that we have a small kitchen, it's a small studio unit, but in order to access the bathroom, you have to go through a storage area. And so I would understand that this something that is taken up with the building department, but I was wondering if you could just explain that a little bit in terms of the building code.
Sure. The
area that's marked existing storage doesn't meet the light and air requirements to make it a legal bedroom. Okay. What we've done in the design is open that wall up as much as possible to have it be able to draw the south light in the centered window, but likely that will actually be a sleeping nook. Okay, so you come up through that. Now then the question is, sleeping nook has access to light and air. It's a questionable, we believe that the opening we're creating will provide the access to the light and air of the big window on the south facade.
What would be required in order to be able to call this a bedroom under the building code?
We wouldn't be able to do that because the bedroom has to have the egress window, and there is no egress available outside of to get out of that room. You can see that there is a tunnel entry that runs along the entire west side of the property. There you see some stairs in that area. That is the legal access to the front, but also out to the rear yard. The rear yard, when and if this building ever becomes a condo conversion, is the common space for three of the units in the building.
And the building permit has not been submitted yet?
The building permit to make it a legal unit has not been submitted. We are currently undergoing some structural upgrades. That rear wall is supporting all the stories of the building, and it wasn't in very good shape, so we're actually tearing that down, and that's being currently shored up and re-poured. So we're doing improvements, but not to make it the kitchen and the studio space. That will be, if we get this variance, we'll apply for that.
And so it'll be submitted this year, it'll be under the 2010 building code. And I thought, and obviously I'm not the building department, I don't want to mine on the building code, but I thought under the 2007 building code, you could have a bedroom with that without additional light and air. And would you have not been able to, I was just wondering, I guess if you were to have submitted this last year, could you have called that a bedroom under the building code?
I have heard different interpretations from the building officials on that. From my professional opinion as an architect, I think that this, as a sleeping nook, is the right thing to do because you do have access to the light and air, I think putting a door in and closing it off is not the right thing to do because you'd be creating a sleeping situation that has no fresh air.
What's the headroom there?
That is 8 feet in the high part and it's 11 feet in the,
so
the main space.
So it's substantial.
Yeah. Okay. And the bathroom is existing.
Thank you. Is there anyone here to speak on this item? Seeing none, close the public hearing on this and would be inclined to grant the requested variance subject to standard conditions. And with that, we move on to the next item.
Item number 10, case number 2010.0287V, 3350 Taravelle Street, rear yard variance sought. Is the sponsor here, please? 3350 Taravelle?
I'm a member of the public. I'd like to speak to the issue, but I am not the property.
Sir, if you came and the property sponsor hasn't come up, please come up and tell us what you would like to say.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
My name is Ken Kreiser. I own a piece of property on the northwest corner of Taravelle and 43rd. It's a nine-unit building. There are 9 one-bedroom units there. I object to this really from two points of view. One, they want to take what they're calling a detached garage. It is not detached. It is currently attached. They want to turn it into a one-bedroom unit without parking space. Anybody who thinks that we do not need parking space for one bedroom has their head buried in the sand. They also are encroaching upon required rear yard. In my building, I do have tenants that live in one bedroom that have more than one car. And of course, they have to park on the street because I only have 9 parking places for 9 units. This garage is attached to a single-story corner store. If they wanted to add to the top of the store and comply with current rear yard space, I would not have objection to that. But the way it is currently configured, I object.
Thank you, and I appreciate that you're here. So you received the notification and knew the appropriate time, place for the hearing, and the project sponsor is not here. So I just wanted to make that comment. Thank you.
What proceeds now?
It's a very good question. Usually people show up at the hearings. And, you know, we did hold over one other item. However, I am concerned because this is, it's my understanding, the legalization of an existing conversion. And we did have one other case like this in the past, and we had denied it, actually, because if the project sponsor is not willing to show, to argue for the variance, it's hard to justify the variance. So I think we will just wait a little bit longer. We have one more case to go, I believe. So we'll have that case, and then we'll make a final decision on that.
Thank you for the information.
Thank you.
Mr. Sanchez, I'm also here to speak
on
the same.
Oh,
please approach.
I'll try to keep it really quick since you don't have the sponsor here.
You have 3 minutes, sir. Please identify
you
yourself.
You also received the notice and the appropriate.
Correct. Yes, I did. My name is Rain Giverson. I live at 2379 44th Avenue, which is across 44th Avenue from the existing liquor store slash garage. I think from my perspective, I'd like the city to deny this variance as well. In particular, there's the issue that was previously brought up that parking is an issue in the area. Maybe not neighborhood-wide, but that specific area because it's right on the El Taravelle line. People do drive to the area to park, and the existing improvements, several of the clients of the store, as well as friends of the owner, tend to park immediately in front of the store. So several of the customers double park through the area. They'll double park on Taravelle as well as 44th, often right at the corner, near the corner in the crosswalk. So right immediately in front of those improvements, it's already an issue. It's already unsafe. There's a lot of families in the neighborhood that are already concerned about the traffic that goes down the street, and right there, cars do have to go into the other lane constantly to get around. Additionally, the existing improvements are actually fit the definition of San Francisco's blight ordinance. It's a pretty atrocious building. There's garbage blowing around. The paint is in horrible condition. And I just personally think that the city should deny them the variance until they're able to actually address the blight issues and present a complete plan, not only for the improvements that they want to make, but for the existing improvements to actually ameliorate the blight situation. And really, finally, it's just not that converting that garage to housing wouldn't be consistent with the neighborhood. The neighborhood, it's the traditional Sunset Dolger houses on 44th Avenue and some multifamily right on Terrabelle. It's all very consistent. It's all very much in the sort of typical Sunset look. And the improvements that they propose don't, you know, for housing don't look anything like the rest of the neighborhood.
Thank you. And a few people did just enter the room. So is anyone here the project sponsor for 3350 Terrabelle Street?
Yeah.
Are you, so the public hearing here started at 9:30. That's what was noticed. We called your item. You weren't here to testify, so we did hear from two members of the public who did show up on time to testify about the case. I will allow you to speak now, so you please come forward and present your arguments for why the variance should be granted.
Could you please approach the mic, sir?
And you'll be given 5 minutes to speak. And then, unfortunately, I think some of the members of the public did speak while you were not here, so I will have to ask them to come back and restate at least briefly their points so you can be able to respond to them.
Okay, because the English is not very good.
I got a store, but...
can you go close to the mic?
I have a store, but it's... nobody cannot work. I'm working really.
Do you need a translator, sir? With that?
Oh, no, I just read. I can understand. Yeah.
Okay.
And just he coming, then he called me. I have to come here. That's why.
Are you the architect?
Oh, no, it's
the owner.
He's the owner of the store. So you own the property.
Yeah. Because okay. Now it's very business is slow, and I have to work. Nobody gonna work. That's why.
Because he wasn't able to come earlier because he couldn't find it to work.
Yeah, that's why we have to close
that's our store. Right. Should I get your name, sir?
Yeah, that's why.
What's your name, please?
Chen Yong Bang. All owners of properties of what?
And then, sir, you like
my name is Dennis Hoskin.
Mr. Hoskin, so you're the applicant?
No, I actually, you know, live around there, and, you know, I just come bring it down here and help you.
So you live in the unit, and you live in the garage structure of the room.
No, I just live in the neighborhood.
You live in the neighborhood, and so you're coming out of the goodness of your heart to
help him out.
Project sponsor. Okay. So who lives in that rear garage?
He does.
Only me.
Only you. Yeah. So you live and work on the property?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. We'll allow you to start over with it because there's some information that we had before.
Okay, you can speak, sir, if you to explain what are you the work that you're doing.
Oh, I'm working in the store. Yeah, it's 30 years of long time. I'm working in my store. Yeah, 35 centers street. Yeah, and what can I tell? What do I need to say?
Describe what you are the kind of work that you would like to do.
I have to sleep all day early. Room inside. I have a garage that makes some room there. I live in there. Now.
So you live. This is your full-time residence.
Yes.
Okay. So you. This is where you maybe.
Yeah, working at
your dress
table
to make sure devoted.
Things like that.
Okay. So this is your only home.
Yes. Sir.
Okay.
That's complaint.
He wanted to know what's the complaint.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Oh, okay. Because it's my understanding that there was a complaint with the Department of Building Inspection about an illegal dwelling unit in that garage. So someone had converted the garage into a dwelling unit. And I didn't actually have the information that you, as the property owner and So the shopkeeper, what's the commercial use at the front?
It's a store. You know, a store, yeah. Convenience store.
Convenience store?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. All right. And so do you have anything further to add about the hardships involved and why you can't provide the parking or the usable open space?
But you know, the parking around there is bad anyway. You know, around his little area.
It's one of the problems, yeah.
Yeah, so everybody, like I heard somebody say, people double park, you know, everybody pull up, double park. And the parking situation is just really bad on that corner.
And so I thought I heard you say that some nights you stay there because of work. Is that the case?
He lives there.
So he lives there all the time? Yeah, okay. Okay. All right. Well, thank you guys very much.
Yes. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And so, of the members of the public, apologize for those who wouldn't mind speaking again to this matter. I think and have the ability to respond.
Well, once again, I object to not providing parking as the property owner or resident has indicated. Parking is already a problem in the area. There's also lack of rear yard space, so I object to the change. That's simply put.
Thank you.
Is there any sort of recap putting?
Yes, or, sorry, I apologize for that.
Not a problem, I'll try to, again, I'll try to keep it brief as I can. Should I repeat who I am and all that stuff?
That'd be fine, yeah, sure.
All right. I'm Reed Gabrielson. I live at 2379 44th Avenue, which is across 44th Avenue from the improvements that are being discussed today. I have a few issues with what's being planned. Primarily, I think my first concern is parking in the area. As the owner has noted, parking is an issue in the area. And in particular, in front of the store, double parking is something that frequently happens immediately in front of the store. Oftentimes, people park right at the corner, very close to the corner of the double park, so people are forced to go in towards oncoming traffic right at a corner, which is always a little scary. This is not necessarily a problem throughout the neighborhood. This really is only a problem immediately in front of the store. One of the other things that this double parking has caused is occasionally driveways do get blocked nearby the store. My driveway being one of them has been blocked several times by customers. Additionally, I'm concerned about the blight that this building already represents in the neighborhood. It does fit the definition of San Francisco's blight control ordinance as a blighted building. Again, there's unchecked weed growth, there's garbage that blows down the street from the building constantly. One of the things I failed to mention earlier is it's not uncommon for customers at the store to use the weed patch that's described in the plans as a lawn, I believe, in the plans. That frequently gets used for public urination. So there's really, you know, these are all things that I think need to be addressed by the owner before the variance should be granted. And in addition to that, the proposed improvements aren't consistent with the neighborhood building style or just the look or feel of the neighborhood.
So I have a question, one of you can answer it. I understand that in front of the garage, the driveway is often used for parking. And I have a photo of a car parked there. Is that your understanding too? Is someone does park in that driveway, like actually on the property?
Neighbors were coming to use the store.
Okay.
Yeah, and the property is in the liquor store or the convenience store property?
So at the back.
At the back. Yeah, there's almost constantly there's a black Mercedes parked there, and then oftentimes we have other people sort of parking in front of the black Mercedes that sits in the driveway sort of sideways.
Okay. Well, thank you. So now the project sponsor has a 3-minute rebuttal to respond to this. Sir, come forward. If you don't have anything to say, do you have a few questions for you? If you could come up.
Could you come up to the microphone, please?
Thank you, guys. Thank you. So do you have anything to say as your rebuttal, or if not, then I just would have a few questions for you.
Well, the Mercedes that you were talking about, that's his car, the one that's parked in there sideways.
Okay.
And he painted the building. I mean, it's kind of, you know, artsy, but he painted the building, and I guess he did try to better.
Could you do more?
You paint, you didn't have to bloody bleeding or look at some of this spray.
Right.
But do you think you could like
do more to improve the visual quality of the building? The
yes, I always paint it to allow to overpraise them.
And so, you know, also we have where you park the car currently is illegal. You're not allowed to park in the driveway like that. So, would you be able to landscape that into, you make it into that landscaped area?
The weeds.
Yeah.
And maintain it.
Yeah, maintain.
So you would be able to maintain that?
Yes.
Improve how you maintain the building?
Yes. Cleaning, such as take out some weeds, something.
Okay. And that is your car that is has been parked out there, the black Mercedes?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
And thank you, sir, for letting him down. He's very happy to do it. Thank you. Okay. Well, with that, I would close the public hearing on this item. I'm not, at this point, ready to make a decision. I think it needs some additional information, in particular, maybe how the property will be maintained in the future. Obviously, moving forward, if the legal unit is removed, that doesn't necessarily get the building to be maintained. So I think we'd like to see what we can do to try to find a solution that will have the property owner improve and maintain that building. So we'd like to see how we can work with the property owner to do that. So with that, we will be in contact with the applicant and we'll try to work out something in terms of a proposal that may be satisfactory to the department that would allow us to grant the variance. And I understand both members of the public do have concerns about that. So I would suggest that you sign your names in at the side, so you will be a notice of the variance decision letter. And also would welcome you to contact the staff planner, Michael Smith, to also express your concerns, and maybe you can provide some input about how the property can be maintained and improved. And that is something that I would take very seriously in making any final decision on this, is that there is some positive benefit that comes from the decision. So with that, the public hearing is closed and decision would be forthcoming, and I would not at this point establish a timeline for that at any time to work with all parties. But thank you everyone for attending. Things are maybe a little bit out of the ordinary, but I appreciate everyone's patience. Thank you.
Moving to item number 11, case number 2007.1156B, 350 Linden Street, rear yard modification variance sought. Is the sponsor, sir? You have 5 minutes.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. My name is Tony Kim. I'm here to represent Mr. Sergio Interno. Mr. Interno has been waiting several years to have this project considered an extremely easy to construct the proposed six-unit mixed-use building. I can tell you that many of the neighbors are also very pleased to hear that a building will finally take place of the underutilized lot. The subject lot contains a total of 19 parcels. Every through lot but one contains buildings that are built all the way to the front of the property line on both street frontages. The subject block contains an eclectic mix of building uses. They range from multi-unit wholly residential buildings to mixed-use structures and light PDR uses. However, what is consistent is the prevailing street wall on Hayes, Linden, and Fell Streets. Therefore, the project seeks a rear yard modification to construct the building, and I believe that's consistent with the build pattern of the area. The proposed building mass and form is consistent with the prevailing street wall. The subject block contains buildings that are cover nearly 100% of their lots. The through lots don't provide a traditional rear yard or open court, and therefore lacks any typical mid-block open space pattern. The granting of this variance application will not introduce a new level of nonconformity that doesn't already exist on the subject block. The overall project is in keeping with the neighborhood character. The elevated roof decks and balconies would provide more usable open space than a rear yard at ground level. Furthermore, the surgeon property is in close proximity, I believe about 125 feet from Patricia's Green. The proposed building and the granting of this rear yard modification would not significantly impede the access of light and air to adjacent properties. It's adjacent to a vacant lot and directly to the east of 110-foot blank wall. Our findings of the prevailing street wall in the neighborhood context that justifies this rear yard modification are consistent and supported in your staff's certificate of determination exemption from environmental review, page 28 in your brief there. The proposed mixed-use project is consistent with the objectives and policies of the general plan and the Market Octavia area plan for infill family size units and active uses. We are unaware of any opposition to this application. We contacted the appropriate neighborhood associations and they received encouraging comments from many of them. I have in hand five letters of support that didn't make the information packet that I'd like to submit to you. Before I conclude, I wanted to remind you that we work very closely with your staff and the Rec and Park staff to reduce the building height from 50 to 40 feet. And again, all we heard are applause about that and preservation of the Patricia screen there. I believe we made all the findings, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. And yes, I would also like to say we appreciate the patience and ability to work with the department that you have. I know this application came in 2007, and over time, there have been changes in how projects have been reviewed and issues with the height limit here. We appreciate your patience. I did have one question related to the height. If you put the height limit here, so you did have a code-compliant building previously before you went down to the 40-foot height. Could you in the future accommodate another story, a fifth floor? Would the building be built such that at a future time you could add on a fifth story? And assuming, let's say there is development adjacent property to the west, it's not a requirement, it's just access related. Right.
I think it's more of a structural question. I think also you have the elevator overrun, staircase penthouse. So maybe I'd let the engineer answer that question.
Okay. Good morning, Mrs. Reza Pashtunistan, SIA Consulting. We could design, if the planning department is open to letting us build eventually on the floor. We have been waiting for the corner lot to get developed, because once that was developed, we could have gotten the additional height that we were looking for. And we do want to have additional height, right? But we had we encountered uphill battle, during the last 2 years, trying to bounce between, environmental department, the parks and recs and all that. But so we do want to build it. So if you are saying that, you're open for us to eventually build another floor, it definitely could be engineered in a way that you could do a floor up top.
Well, I guess my question wasn't so much speaking about future development that would occur at a later time with a separate process, but was just simply wondering if the building would be built in such a way that it could easily accommodate, if that was part of your plan to do so. And I'm assuming it sounds like it's not, and to do so would require a substantial change in the systems and the structure that would maybe cost prohibitive.
Right. I mean, the cost would be definitely higher, because we have to get the elevator to go up one more level. And structurally, we have to design in a way that you could accommodate on the floor without doing a full retrofit. But again, we would love to have another unit up there and another floor. So it's really the ball is in your court. If you are saying that you're open for us to eventually do another level up there, we'll definitely beef it up. It's definitely worth the additional cost for my client to do that.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
And I understand that the Section 312. Notification ahead. We're waiting for materials in order to perform Section 312 notice.
I submitted the Section 312 labels, and I believe Kevin explained that it was the department's preference to separate the Section 312 from the variance notice. So we're just following that direction. But the building permit's filed, staff has the labels, the 312 ready to go out.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I'd heard something a little bit different, but I'll confirm with Kevin and find that.
It was probably more our error on submitting labels, but he does have them now.
Okay. And I think generally the project is supportable as proposed for the rear yard modification. It's not a variance in this case, but rather a rear yard modification. And there is no pattern there of mid-block open space to preserve and protect, and really development as the entire lot is the best alternative. So would generally be supported. However, I would take it under advisement until the Section 312 notice is completed before issuing a final decision in order to see if there is any additional public comment that may be helpful in making that decision. So, public hearing is, well, sorry, we'll take public comment. Is there anyone here to speak on this item? Any member of the public to speak on this item? Not seeing that the public hearing is closed, and as I stated, we will take the matter under advisement and wait for the completion of Section 312 notification before issuing the final decision. Thank you. And so, now we are going.
Sir ZA, our sponsor for item number 7 is here. Case number 2010.0323B, 2317 15th Street, rear yard variance sought.
Mr. LaRosier, you are here to start at 9:30.
I apologize.
I saw you here earlier.
I know. We stepped out because so many people were arguing and fighting over that 14th Street project. We were standing talking to this friend of mine that we discussed the matter. But I apologize for that. It wasn't right, but I'm glad you take us back for one more run.
You have 5 minutes, sir.
This project consists of adding another unit to RH2 zoning. Approximately the size of this unit is only 400 square foot. We went through this finding and we met all these requirements of finding, which I submitted to you. The building was built in 1900, a two-story building over the hill. As you can see on the screen, that is sitting on the, it's a two-story building. With the way they're structured, it's so bad, we cannot do excavation or do any modification to the facade of the building. It would cause, it would create some, we have to compromise architecturally, structurally, that would not go with 1900 year building. So that would be one of the condition we met. The other one is providing that parking space. It's RH2 to require one parking per unit, but it's very close approximately to all these traffics and as we mentioned to you, we send a block and a half to almost 7 blocks. We have all kinds of transportation. So. We met basically complete the finding. I think this project is very good for the owner. We have a very small little one-bedroom apartment with no very little modification. I'm ready for any question you would like to have.
Thank you. But the Section 311 notice is underway and expires later this week.
Tomorrow is expired.
Tomorrow, yes. This is to legalize an illegal unit?
It's not the illegal unit. It's the extension on at the bottom of the unit. It's a two-story building, as you can see. It's two-story. There's a window right in front. That window is one room, huge room with the back there. Well, we have to put the bathroom in the kitchen.
So there's no unit there currently?
No, there's not a unit there.
Because I think there were two responses from the public, one a letter of support, one opposition, and they had expressed opposition because they didn't think that this would penalize the violator, I think is what they had said.
There's no unit. There's no unit.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
Is there anyone here to speak on this item? I'm looking and seeing that there's no one in the audience. There's no public comment on this. So close the public hearing, and with that, we'll be inclined to grant the requested variance, but would take the matter under advisement until the completion of the Section 311 notification tomorrow before issuing a final decision and decision letter.
Thank you very much for even taking my project second time.
Mr. Amar, do you have a picture of your posting?
Yes.
And after this, we would move on to general public comment, but as I said, there's no members of the public here to speak. So with that, we are adjourning this meeting. Thank you very much.